Our reading this evening is taken from the Psalms, reading Psalm 42 and 43. We kind of go together as you will tell when I read it. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, "Where is your God?" When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. So far the reading of God's Word. Dear people of God, the subject before us this evening is one that no doubt touches many of us at one time or other in our Christian lives. We enter into a period in which the sentiments that are expressed by the psalmist are all too familiar to us. That's what we felt like. And perhaps we didn't say the words that the psalmist has said, but nevertheless, we thought about them. We expressed them in our own hearts. And these words of the psalmist may be surprising to us that we find them in the scriptures, that we find them in the book of the Psalms. But in one sense, how glad we are that we do. Because they do reflect a reality that we know all too well. It's not something that is alien to us. It's not something that we think, oh, you know, I'm shocked. shocked to hear those things. I'm shocked that a believer would utter those words. And we're not. We're not. Because as I've said, we have thought about and expressed those words in our hearts. And we've heard others say such things that are Christians. And so here, what we have in the book of Psalms is God's way of raising the issue in our midst, of saying to us, this is a common experience. So I don't want you to feel strange when these things happen. I want you to realize that it has happened before to Christians. Not to say that it's of no consequence. No, not that. But that we might be encouraged by the fact that others have gone through such experiences and have found deliverance, have found strength from the Lord in order to overcome those periods in their lives. It's a dangerous thing when we portray the Christian life as one in which we never have any problems, never feel down, never feel dejected, that everything goes smoothly. That's a dangerous picture to give, because when people become Christians, if that's what they hear, then when they run up against these kinds of emotions, then it can be devastating. Then they can think, well, I must not be a Christian, because other Christians seemingly don't have these issues, and I do. So maybe there's something wrong with me. Or we can have in society where maybe people that have these issues are regarded as weak. And so these things are kept hidden. And so they don't talk about those things. And those things don't get addressed. And so those things become more and more strong in their hearts and lives. I mean, I've had this sad experience of having people in the churches where I've served, three suicides. It wasn't the case that they kept it quiet. I mean, it's not that we didn't know that they had these issues. And it's not that we weren't involved. It's not that there wasn't support and there wasn't encouragement. It went on for years, but they never seemed to totally get over it. And finally, it overpowered them. And sadly, they took their life. So how much more dangerous is it when there's that environment that these things are not spoken about, that these things are not legitimate Christian experiences? How much worse would it be for such people? And so the scriptures are realistic. The scriptures don't give us this rosy picture where these things don't happen. Now, if you've read the book of Psalms to any extent, then you will recall that there are times that you think, what does the psalmist say? I mean, the psalmist is expressing raw emotions that he has, feelings that he has, the way that things appear to him. I mean, look at Psalm 73, for example. And yet, those psalms are not pity parties. Those psalms are written for our learning, for our encouragement. So those examples are raised, but along with those struggles are the solutions. So it's not a kind of, you know, modern approach. I don't know about modern, but ineffective approach. You have a problem, so you go to a group where everyone has that problem. And they all sit around talking about it. depressing each other even more. I mean, they're not counselors. So what we have here is not that. It's not just to say, oh, don't feel bad. Here's another guy that felt that way. No, it's not that. It's being encouraged because others have gone down this path and have found the strength from the Lord that they need to resolve this issue, to be strong, to be victorious through the grace that the Lord Jesus Christ provides. And so these two Psalms then help us, encourage us that yes, Christians can have these experiences, but yes, by God's comfort and strength and word, we can overcome. We can be more than conquerors, as the scripture says, through the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we look at these Psalms and this subject in a very general way, in the upcoming weeks we'll look more specifically at certain types of struggles that we face, but here in a general way, first of all then in terms of the conflicts of depression. The kind of things that we experience or are subjected to when depression comes knocking on our door is that it brings personal anguish. It's not a pleasant time to go through these experiences. It's not something that we would wish on anyone. It's something that we would seek to avoid, something that we want to help people to be on guard against so that they don't go through these experiences. And so society adopts these procedures of trying to shock people into not doing certain things. So when they want to deter young people from driving too fast because of accidents, they portray those accidents on the TV and the consequences of it in order to impress upon them not to do this thing. Or drugs, for example, or smoking. And you get these people that, you know, have got tubes in their necks because of the consequences of smoking, just to deter young people from going down. And in a sense, that's what we have here in the Psalms, these two Psalms. It describes the anguish and the suffering that comes upon us when we walk into this dark and shadowy period of our life. When we allow the devil to surround us on every side, to cut us off. And so these images are meant for us to put up our guard and say, I'm not going to go down that path. I'm going to take every precaution that I can. And so the psalmist describes his condition. And he says that as a deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. So here's somebody that is exhausted. Here's somebody that can hardly catch their breath. Fear has taken hold of them. Perhaps a deer that is being chased, hunted, and it's running through the forest. And they keep coming, and they keep trying to surround it and corner it. And so it has to keep coming. It has to keep running. And if you've ever ran further than your body wants you to, you know what anguish that is. So you start breathing much faster than you normally would. And you start sweating. And your body's shouting to you to stop. But you can't. The deer can't. Because the deer is fearful for its life. And so this image of being chased and of being tired and exhausted and wanting relief and relief not coming, that's not a condition that you want to be in. You don't want to go through those days of your Christian life that way, in fear, in trepidation, fearing this scenario, fearing that scenario, as the devil chases us and the devil threatens us with all kinds of difficulties, and our minds and hearts are filled with that. I mean, scarcity. We want so much to escape. Or the image that he gives in verses 3 and 4. My tears have been my food day and night. I mean, how sad is that? Do you go to sleep with these problems? You can't sleep because of those problems. And so you lie awake, you toss and you turn. You weep because you want it so desperately for these fears to subside and be removed. But the devil keeps bringing them up in our minds. He keeps throwing them in our face and threatening us. And he has no mercy. And even though we're in pain and we're crying out in anguish, he doesn't care. He keeps coming at us, Again. It's not an endearing picture that the psalmist puts. It's something that he has experienced, but it's not something that he wishes on any of us. And he's sharing it so that we might learn from him and not go down that path. In verses 6 and 7. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. I mean, what a struggle. We don't have stability. These things that we're confronting are in our life. Knock us over. Whenever we talk about them, whenever we think about them, they knock us over. They overwhelm us, just like waves that come. We think we can withstand them. But when they hit with such a force, they knock us off our feet. And it's difficult for us to catch our breath. We go under, and we gasp for air. That's how destabilizing spiritual depression is. Just a crackling of a leaf under somebody's foot or noise sets us off. We're so sensitive, we're so in fear that every little thing paralyzes us. And so the devil brings those ideas wave after wave after wave. He wants us to be destabilized. He has no mercy. And so he comes, just like he did with the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And people came. I mean, it's like one group's done, another group starts. The other group starts. I mean, just kept on coming. So again, the psalmist is sharing these personal experiences as a warning. Not for others not to go down this path. For others to be on their guard. To keep themselves fully established on the Lord Jesus Christ. I will say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me. While they say to me all day long, where is he? That's what depression is like. We have no confidence in God. We lose that confidence. We lose that assurance. We're not certain about anything. And so the devil moves in for the attack. He challenges our faith. Just as he did with the Lord Jesus, if you are the Son of God. Well, that's what he says to each and every one of us. If you are a child of God, why are you experiencing these things? Why don't you have any strength? Why don't you have an answer for me? Where is your God after all? Why isn't he helping you? Which is what they said to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see if God will come to save. Let's see if Elijah will come to save. Because we're convinced that no one's going to come. Because he's an imposter. He's not the Messiah. He's a false prophet. That's what the devil does to us in those times. When he gets us destabilized this way, then he comes in for the kill. He goes for our faith. He tries to show that we don't have any faith. It's just a fabricated. It's just a figment of our own imagination. And we've just believed these lies that we told other people. But it's not really true, because if they were true, then why would we be in this situation? So again, the psalmist is bringing all of these things before our eyes, painfully sharing them with us to say that these things do happen. The devil is powerful. The devil is someone that we have to contend with, and we have to be prepared. We have to be equipped. And it has a poor witness. When we are in this type of experience, we are a poor witness to those around us. That's why they taunt us all day long. Challenge us. Then what kind of a Christian are you? We don't believe you're a Christian at all. I mean, we don't believe that any Christians, right? It's just Christianity is a lie. And it's just a crutch that people come up with to bring some stability in their lives. They're too weak to stand on their own. And in order to prove that, they attack us. They challenge us. Even other people go through those experiences that don't have faith. They don't say anything to them. But to us, they do. You claim to have faith. You claim to have God as your Father. And yet, look. Look. Nothing's happening. Where's your witness? Where's this thing about God being sovereign and God caring for you and God protecting you? We don't see anything. So the conclusion is, there isn't a God. And that you are not his child. And that spills over. I mean, when we don't have this strong witness of God in our hearts and lives, then to go to his house becomes very difficult. And so the psalmist speaks about that. There's a lack of worship. He states that he can only remember such times. He used to, but now he doesn't. Because the wind, in a sense, is taken out of his sails. And he speaks about going to the altar of God and praising his God. Restarting that. But obviously, there was a time in this miserable state that he didn't. That's what depression does. It cuts us off from God. It sucks out of our hearts and lives thanksgiving and praise to our God, because we're so consumed with this struggle that we have in our hearts and lives that the devil has persuaded us is reality, that there's nothing more than that. That's all there is. And so there's no hope. No one's going to come to our aid. And so we face his taunts, challenges to our faith. But secondly, what are some of the causes of depression? I mean, why do we get into these situations and these types of situations in our life? Well, certainly one aspect is personality. Not to say that one personality is better than another, but certain personalities open themselves up more to certain dangers than others. So the kind of temperament that we have. And so there are those that are, I don't know for better words, more introvert. They engage in a lot more self-analysis. Are easily disturbed when things don't go the way that they should. Perhaps even lack of confidence. And so the devil comes at us in ways that use those weaknesses, that exploit those weaknesses. So we have those that are perfectionists, and they want to do everything right, and when, you know, something is off, they get all bent out of shape. I mean, in teaching, you know, I have that. There are students that, you know, they will get depressed if they don't get an A. So then maybe they get 89, 88. They're all bent out of shape. I'm thinking, why are you bent out of shape? 88 is a good percentage. But no, not for them. And so where others are happy to get 75, I mean, they need to be boosted up a bit. They're content too easily. But they're happy that they're getting a B, right? I mean, they're over the moon, they're getting a B. But these people that are higher than them are frustrated and sad. So I'm just saying that to show that there are different temperaments that people have that can lead them one way or the other. And so I'm not saying one is good and one is bad, but what I am saying is you need to know what kind of temperament you have. And you need to know the dangers that your particular temperament is open to. And you need to resist that. You need to fight the devil as far as that is concerned. As I said, with respect to, you know, the struggles, some people that I mentioned in terms of my ministry that committed suicide, one was exactly that. Absolute perfectionist. And she was a great nurse. Passed very well. But she had that kind of a temperament. And you'd say, you'd think she had all the world, in a worldly way of speaking, at her feet. And yet, no more than 6 months after she graduated, she took her own life. You think, how sad. But temperament had a part to play. And so I'm saying we need to be careful and recognize who we are and say, look, I'm susceptible to these dangers, so I'm going to buttress those areas. I'm going to reinforce those areas. I'm going to speak to myself about those areas so that I don't allow them to become a danger. Of course, on the other side, you know, you have the happy-go-lucky. You have to be careful of that, too. We think we can take on the world. Nothing bothers us. And we go headlong into problems because we don't think. We don't plan. We just think we're invincible. There's a danger with that, too. Remember, Peter was that kind of personality. He wasn't one that introspective and think about all of these things. He was the one that spoke first and reasoned later. Jumped first and then saw what he was jumping into. And there was dangers with that too. And he jumped right in, as it were, into the trap with the devil. And what anguish he experienced in those moments when he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. No, both types of personalities and temperaments have to know themselves, have to know the dangers and the pitfalls that we have, and we need to guard against them so that we can stand firm. The other thing is, you know, the circumstances of our lives. Obviously, when we are ill, when we're going through difficult times, right, such as, you know, very serious diseases, it doesn't take a genius for us to realize that the devil is going to exploit that. The devil is going to attack us at those times. The devil is going to start whispering in our ear. I mean, why is God giving that to you? I mean, look at all these other people. They're not getting it. Why do you get it? Must be something that I've done. He must not love me. He must not care for me. All too easy. Well, whether it's financial problems, whether it's relationship problems, all kinds of issues that the devil is all too ready and eager to exploit, and he knows how to do it. So when we are faced with those kinds of things, just like I said about temperament, so if we know that we're facing a health issue, we ought to remind ourselves that, hey, the devil is going to come at me, especially in this season. And so I have to reinforce these truths in my mind. I have to be ready for him, because he is going to come. He's not going to let this opportunity pass. And so we need to man those areas in our lives. It's interesting that most of the time, if not all, in terms of illnesses, you know, there may be a few in my ministry where, you know, people express bitterness because of the issues that they were confronted with in terms of health. Sometimes it was because of their children, sometimes because of them. But by and large, the people were very strong in those times. And I'm talking about children, I'm talking about people with families, I'm talking about seniors, that invariably people were ready for those things. And not necessarily that they were all that surgery or the medical field brought them back to full health. No, some of them passed from this life to glory. But they had the comfort and the strength in those difficult times. But it's not unheard of for people to become confused and bitter about these situations. So all I'm saying is, when we do face those things, we need to be ready. We need to be wise. We need to understand that the devil is going to come. And in terms of finances, in terms of jobs, I mean, how many times have I taken phone calls? And it's exactly over that issue. The person is depressed because they don't have a job. And why do they not have a job? They're doing everything right. In other words, they're being good Christians. Why would God not give them a job? It's not that they're sitting back doing nothing. They're working. They're seeking a job. And it's not coming. Why isn't God doing that? Then you have to help them. And encourage them. To say that it's a wrong conclusion to believe that God doesn't care. Or that he's not concerned about them. Not at all. Nothing personal. Many people are unemployed. Many people have to face that experience. Here's our opportunity to face that experience in a different way than people that don't have faith and don't have faith. And so those struggles come. So again, when we're faced with those times that we're going to lose our job, and we're going to be unemployed for a while, we don't know how long, it's time to speak to yourself and say, hey, be careful, because the devil is going to come and exploit this situation. And so let me fill my mind and heart with the Word of God, with those passages that speak about God's faithfulness to his people, and to elicit the help and the encouragement of other believers. At least I'm happy that people call. These friends of ours call. They don't just go off in a corner. Which is a good thing, because at least they get help and encouragement from another voice. And so these are the times and situations that you have to be careful of. Physical ailments, emotional difficulties, worries in our hearts and minds over our livelihood is a big part. I mean, no wonder the Sermon on the Mount tells us not to worry about these things. Because that's exactly what we do. What shall we wear? What shall we eat? We worry about these things. And the Bible has to teach us that God cares for us and not to lose sight of that. So again, we need to strengthen ourselves. And also, as I mentioned in our prayer, persecution. When we are persecuted, when the church is persecuted and Christians put in jail, falsely charged, as in certain countries that we've heard of. I mean, how discouraging that must be. I mean, here I am, as a minister, of course, in Iran, you remember that on the news, preaching the word of God, helping people in a very difficult environment, and then I'm arrested and put in prison. How easy it is for the devil to attack our faith. Or for that matter, in days past, in Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan spent about 12 years in prison. Altogether. Standing for the truth. His daughter died while he was in prison. I mean, what anguish he must have suffered. And how the devil must have attacked his faith. And so that's what the devil does. So those that are under persecution need also to be careful. And to prepare, mentally prepare. I mean, what is it that brings these people through those difficult times? It's the fact that they have faith in God. They know that God is going to be there for them and is going to be their source of strength. It's they that make it through these times. Those that have no faith have no hope. And soon all is lost for them. Because they also get caught up in these things, of course, political prisoners that are put into prison. That those that have faith, we can make it. Because God is our strength. But it doesn't happen automatically. There are things that God calls us to do. And that is to be strengthened, to be prepared, to be ready. And that's what the psalmist is really communicating. The cures of depression. As I said, not that we're going to go into them in intricate detail tonight, but certainly generally, take control of yourself. Stop the people. Stop your mind spinning all kinds of scenarios without any hindrance, without any restraint. Just one image after another, one image after another. And it just becomes more and more depressing. That's what the psalmist is telling us. That's why he speaks to himself. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Explain that to me. Explain how a person that believes in the sovereign God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one that is involved in every aspect of our life, especially us as his people, how in the world can you believe in that God and be cast down? How can you say that you have no hope? No, it's impossible. Impossible. But yet it happens to us. It happens to us, as I've indicated this evening. And as I've related this story before to you as well. Luther, the great reformer, had this problem. He was given to depression. And you remember his wife used this very tactic. And she said to him one day, all dressed in black, I mean she was a nun, but that wasn't the reason she was dressed in black. It was her point. And she said to him, oh, did you hear? God is dead. And so here this reformer is just shocked. He's just shocked. And he can't understand why his wife would say such a foolish thing. And he says, why would you say such a thing? And she said, well, judging from your face, judging from the way that you're acting, my only conclusion was that God must have died. And in a sense, it was a shock treatment for him. Brought him back to reality. Brought him back face to face with a God that he worshipped and adored and relied upon. And he'd forgotten that in the throes of the struggles that he faced. So people of God, we need to ask ourselves that question. We need to ask, how is it that we believe that Christ humiliated the devil? He disarmed him, made a public spectacle of him on the cross. How is it that we can believe those words and now act as though God can't help us? There's no hope for us. Somehow the devil has got us surrounded. We can't. I mean, Pharaoh had all of God's people bound for 400 years, and God came and with one man, Moses, led them out. And it wasn't Moses, it was the power of God. Led them out to freedom. How in the world can we say there's no hope? How can we believe the Apostle John when he says, greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world, when we're acting like the battle is lost? No, we have to call our souls to be consistent with the faith that we have. And we have to remind our soul the faith that we have so that we can regain our freedom, regain our strength, be able to stand up against the devil and not allow him to ride roughshod over us. No. We need God's word. We need him. Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. People, look, it's God's word that's going to bring us. Because it's God's word that speaks the truth. It isn't affected by the devil and all of his attacks. No. It stands firm, infallible, not to be taken back for a moment. No. We need to fill our hearts and minds with God's word at such time. Not put our Bibles aside and not read them. Not be absent from the house of God where we can hear God's word. Be absent. No. Those are negative things. Those are things that are going to plunge you further and further into that state. No. You need to bring yourself, even though your mind doesn't and your heart doesn't feel like it, that's where you need to be. Reading the word of God. And worshiping him. But it's not simply in those actions that we're going to come out of these things. No. That's not what the psalmist says. It says, hope in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. People of God, our deliverance is not in some magical words that we can say. It's not in a certain prayer that we can pray. No, it's absolutely our hope in God himself, in who he is, in his power, in his wisdom, in his justice, in his love, in his holiness. It's in him, the relationship that we have with him, the love that he's shown to us, the promises that he's made to us. It's in those irrevocable promises that he's made that we find our strength in his character. In his nature. And though we might have contributed to becoming trapped in this situation by us not being careful, nevertheless, when we pray to him, he will deliver us of evil. And he will bring us out of these times that the devil has us surrounding by his word, by his spirit. And once again, we'll be able to see clearly who our God is. And having seen him, we will find a path through these difficulties, all the way to God, all the way to praising and adoring him with God's people. People of God, there's no reason for us to be made in these situations in our life. Hope in God, for he will yet deliver us. Our Father in heaven, we're so glad that you reassure us that though at times through our not thinking straight, not being careful, opening ourselves up, hearing these things that the devil whispers in our ears, challenges that he brings, that we don't always address them according to your word, and we get into deep waters. We lose our feet, as it were. We begin to drown. And we're so thankful that you are always there. As we call upon you, as Peter did, as he was drowning in the waves, and you reached out your hand, and he walked safely into the boat. Father, now we pray that you would keep each and every one of us, and when those times come in our lives, that we will have the words to speak to our souls, and to lead our souls to turning its eyes, its hope, its confidence, its assurance on your promises. Father, we ask that you would hear our prayers. You help each and every one of us that perhaps maybe in those times. And Lord, that you would restore us into full fellowship. For we pray these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we